This is the start of the second and final tape of the November 5th, 1986 interview with retired fisherman Angelo Ficarra of Apalachicola, Florida. The interviewer is David Taylor. Okay, we're off and rolling on the second tape here.
You got it hooked up.
Oh, that's right. I need to bring you along as my assistant, I think.
There you go. Boy knows all about fishing.
The little boy. Were those your grandsons, those two? Yeah. Well, how many children do you two have?
Five.
Yeah? How many boys and how many girls?
Three boys
and two girls.
Do they live around here?
Two
of them live in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
One in St. Joe and...
One in Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit.
Hmm. Now, how does Joe fit in, age-wise?
He was the youngest one.
Youngest, yeah. Did any of the others get involved in fishing at all?
Yeah, they all liked to fish. See, and then we moved and went to Texas, Port Arthur down there, and Johnny, my son, got a job at Walgreens and stayed there 20 years. And he retired now. He's back down here. I don't know what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. He's got all his furniture piled over here.
Oh, yeah.
So my other son, he joined the Navy. And when he was 18, he stayed there 20 years. He retired. Mm. He's over there, too, in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And I think he's working. He used to work for a furniture company. Now he's working down Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
His wife's working some... Though I don't forgot the name of it. Mm-hmm. His daughter.
Son.
My son. Yeah, it's his wife. I'm talking about Johnny. What? Fairmont?
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter. His daughter working in Disney World too. One of them. Mm-hmm. So he ain't got no job right now.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what kind of work he wants to do. Mm-hmm. He put in down there at Disney, see if they're going to get a job over there.
I thought Joe was out there. That's your call.
Yeah. Now, when you were oystering, what kinds of gear would you take with you to get
oyster? Oyster tongs.
Are all tongs alike, or are they different?
Yeah. Well, them days they was different. They were smaller size, you know, didn't have big heads, little small heads to them, and it was 10-foot. What we used, sometime we used 11-foot.
Handles, you mean?
Mm-hmm. They weren't really heavy that them days. Now they use them big old heads. You can't hardly pick them up. Mm-hmm. You get some horses in there, too much.
Mm-hmm. What time of day would you go for them?
Well, when me and my daddy was oystering, we left here at daylight. And oystered all day till 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then we try to come in, you know, as all them boats and be in line, different. Sometimes we have 15 boats working in one house, you know, and we all of them look one another and trying to race me and see who gets in first. Because, don't it be 2 hours before you get unloaded.
Huh? Did you have to put them in bags?
No.
In the boat?
No. Mm-hmm. We just call them in the boat, and we got on the dock. And they had a man ready there to go in the hole and shovel them. Mm-hmm. A half a barrel was a half a tub, and two of them would be a barrel. Mm-hmm. And we used to get anywhere from 15 barrels a day.
Wow.
Of course, we didn't get much money then, but we had plenty of oysters. We got into some, the highest we ever got was $2 a barrel. Mm-hmm. And then there was... Some of them paid 75 cents, some of them dollar, you know, different prices. The steam stock, there was 75 cents a barrel. And we went to the island, St. George Island, there. I know a place there, and I know there's some horses there now. If they ain't dead. And we took our skiff and went inside them creeks and loaded that boat. We had about 50 barrels of them horses in that boat. That we just got them for steam stock. Mm-hmm. And when we got in, was working for Packing Company, then there's steam horses there. Of course, they shucked them too. he seen them big oysters, he said he wasn't going to steam them oysters, he was going to shuck them out. So, yeah, there's plenty of oysters there.
When you went with your father, did you both do the same thing on the boat?
Same thing. Or were there things,
a job that you had that was different from what he
did? No. He had a pair of tongs, I had a pair, one on each side of the boat. Mm-hmm. He tong on one side and a tong on one side.
Who culled them?
After we make our, put them on deck, mm-hmm. from here to the door, big pile on each side, and then we quit and go ahead and cull them out. Mm-hmm. We usually cull about 6-7 deck loads a day.
Would you be going back and forth to the shucking house, or you just do all that and keep them right on the boat?
No, we keep them on the boat until we make the trip. Leave in the morning, come back in the evening, unload. Mm-hmm. And then go back out next morning, get another load. Hmm. We make about 5-6 trips a week.
I see. When you were culling, what were you paying attention to separate the oysters?
Well, we separate it, just knock off the shells and the little oysters. And then mm-hmm. if they're 2 and 3, we just throw them in the hole. We wouldn't cut them. We wouldn't get them all single because it would take too many to make a tub then. We leave 2 and 3 at a bunch, you know. So mm-hmm. some of them be a lot of single oysters in it.
So is culling then just a matter of separating them into the smaller sizes mm-hmm. from big clumps?
Yeah, you get the big size, 3-inch oysters. Then they allowed you so much percentage to bring a few 2.5 inches. Mm-hmm. If you had too many, they wouldn't let you do it. Hmm. They'll make you cull them over. At that time, they didn't fine you. Once in a while, now if they caught you 2 or 3 times, they'll fine you, but it wasn't much, maybe $10, $15 them days. But hardly, if they caught you once in every 2 or 3 times, they make you cull them, and they wouldn't tell you to go and throw the whole load. You call your horses and unload the big horses and the small horses. You take them back in the morning when you go back out and throw them to the bar.
Yeah.
Well, that's different now. We didn't have but 2 inspectors here to check your horses. Mm-hmm. Of course, we didn't have all them houses across. We had a few, not too many as it is like it is now. Mm-hmm. But what they got now is they got too many inspectors around here.
Did you use any kind of tool to cull the oysters, separate them?
Yeah, a little iron about this long.
Did you make that yourself, or where would you get
that? Yeah, we had to get a piece of iron, have it cut out, and fix it like we wanted.
And it would be how long?
Oh, about that long.
About a foot long or so? Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And not too heavy, you know, enough way to be a little heavy where you knock shells and stuff off of them.
Were there different names that you had for the oysters of different sizes or shapes?
Well, I got big select oysters and I got the sissa bills, different kind.
I heard someone talking about a coon oyster the other day. What is that?
Well, coon oysters in a big bunch.
Yeah.
They grow in a bunch. Mm-hmm. And ain't nobody worked them in a long time. That's the way they get.
How come they call them that?
I don't know. Yeah, if you go ahead and work them boys, see, they won't get that bad. You can separate them all the time. Mm-hmm. Now you go in these bars under the island, on them flats there, that's what they call coon oysters because they get burred like that. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody fool with them oysters unless they go and pick a few of them up once in a while. They find some scattered.
What you got?
A little leaf there in the mouth.
He wants to play.
Now, if I had a couple of different oysters in my hands here, could you tell where they were from in the bay?
Yeah, of course, it's been a long time now, but you could tell. If you go to St. Vincent Bar, you can tell them, or East Hole, or East Cat Point. Oh, yeah, you can tell them oysters, or oysters, them lumps. You can tell every one of them.
Hmm. Well, how would they be different?
Well, some of them be kind of looking brownish. You got different layers on them, you know, you can tell.
Is it just the color that's important?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We used to work at times for Backpack Company and go out to the, because they always wanted oysters from St. Vincent. St. Vincent oysters, pretty nice round oysters, pretty colored them. And we used to go to East Hole. It was just about the same, but you could tell. And we used to get a load over there and come in. That old man used to work. Y'all didn't go to St. Vincent? I said, yes, we did. We just put a handful. We had them from East Home, St. Vincent, put them on top. We fooled them about 4, 5, 7. Somebody told on us. Because we used to get a little more for the St. Vincent oysters, see. And we'd go down there, we'd get more oysters. And they wouldn't pay more for them. They'd pay more for them other ones.
What were some of the other names of places you mentioned? The East Hole and Cat Point was
East
one?
Hole, Cat Point, North Lump, Porter's Ball, Dry Ball, St. Vincent. That's Indian Pass down here. They had all kind of oysters down there. Mm-hmm. Pelican Reef. These boys don't know where them oysters are down the east down there. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody go down towards mm-hmm. that island. Mm-hmm. We used to know a place down there, that island down the east there. It's a big, deep hole, and on the side is flat, you know. It comes out of the water with a low tide. And you had the oyster in there with a low tide, and you get down to your knees on the boat to try to get them. Hmm. I don't know if there should be some there. I don't know if they did. You don't see nobody go down that way.
Could everyone, all the oystermen, oyster anywhere they wanted, or were there some areas?
Yeah, anywhere they wanted to go. There wasn't nothing to tell dealers tell you where to go. You go anywhere you want to go. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes the dealer say, I need you to go to St. Vincent and get a few of them round oysters, because he had an order for them, you know, special order. Well, we'd go get them. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, we'd go anywhere we want to go.
Mm-hmm. Would the people who ran the oyster houses, would they have certain rules about fishing that you would have to abide by, like when to go, when to come back, how much to get, and quality of them, things like that?
No, just had open orders. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You go out there and get all you want. Mm-hmm. And then at times, you know, sometimes things get hard while they send you for order, go out there and say, give you order for 10 barrels, mm-hmm. and then that's all you're going to get and come back in.
Yeah.
But other time you have straight through orders every day.
Mm-hmm. Did you go out every day of the week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every day. Mm-hmm. We went out there sometime with ice on deck.
Whoa.
That's right.
What did you take for your lunch?
Well, when we had the big boat, I cooked before we got to the oyster bar. It didn't take that long to cook, you know. We just cooked a little stew or something. It'd be cooked before we get to the bar, and it'd take us about an hour to get there. Mm. I have it all ready, and then we work till 12 o'clock and eat our dinner, and then start working again till 3.
What did you have to cook on then?
We had a real small stove, kerosene stove. Mm-hmm. You don't hardly see these stoves no more. It was a small, round stove. Mm-hmm. So we had. Mm-hmm. We had a barrel on deck to keep your water. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Did you ever get caught in any hard weather when you were out fishing?
Austin? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we got blowing pretty good north at the time. Yeah, we stayed on the bar. We didn't bother. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it got pretty cold and we didn't go out, you know, and it'd be too cold and we would just stay in. Mm-hmm. Wait till it warm up some. Mm-hmm. Same way as shrimping. You go out there and shrimping. We stay out there 4 or 5 days. Northwest to come out, and it was gets pretty cold, and after a while, the weather calmed down, we go outside and you catch all the shrimp you want. Mm-hmm. You got to make your trip and come on in.
Mm-hmm. Anything you ever did for good luck?
I don't know.
Someone was telling me the other day that they never like to start a trip on Friday. People around here ever talk about things like that?
Not as I know. We went out all the time, didn't matter what.
Some of the other things that other fishermen have told me, that certain words were bad luck
to
say sometimes.
One time I was sturgeon fishing out here. It was on Good Friday.
Yeah.
It was at night. And I could hear the sturgeon jumping. The water was running a little bit. I was waiting for the tide to slack up. And I finally throwed my net over, and I started drifting a little bit. And on the east side up there, I could see something look like a fire on. Well, I thought it was the woods on fire, you know. And I kept it spreading, kept it spreading. And every sturgeon got wild, hitting that net, bust through it. It got a whole sky got red. And I just started picking my net as fast as I could, and I come on home. I got scared. I thought the whole world was catching a fire. I didn't know what happened that night.
Anyone else see that and talk about
it? I don't know. Nobody's seen it around here.
I wonder what that was.
I don't know.
Did you ever see anything like that again?
No. I said I wasn't going out on Good Friday no more. I didn't go at night. No, but I fish all the time. I never seen nothing like it. All I did see one day, 2 or 3 days after that, I read in the paper, I don't know what state it was. It looked like they said it rained like blood. I said, well, maybe that was what was happening over here. I don't know.
You ever catch anything unusual in your nets when you were shrimping?
Oh, yeah, you catch all kind of fish in the shrimp net. You catch sturgeon, flounders, ground mullet, crabs, anything is in there. I caught a sturgeon one day in the shrimp, up here in the net. He had one of these sponges inside his gill. I still got that sponge. I've been keeping it. It's been a long time.
Now, today a lot of fishermen, at least in the bigger boats, have got all kinds of electronic
gear
and so on to navigate with. What did people use before all that?
They didn't use nothing but a compass. Go out and come with bad weather or foggy, that's all they used. Because we didn't go out too far out in the Gulf, you know, about 2 or 3 miles out as far as we went. Now they go too far out, you know, out of sight. Them days you didn't have all that.
What about telling the depth of the water?
Well, we had a pole.
Yeah.
And we had a sounding lead, you know, sound, see how deep it was.
Mm-hmm. Was the, also today you can turn on the TV or radio and get the weather report.
That's right.
There things you looked at in nature to help you know what the weather was going to do?
Well, they had a barometer on the boat. Some of them did. And that's the only way they could tell when, like them snapper fishermen years ago, they had, the glass went down, the man told them, said, we better leave, there's a hurricane coming. Well, two of them left, one of them stayed out there, and he got lost. And never did find him. Well, the only way they had to tell anything.
Was there anything about the clouds, how they looked, or the wind?
Well, at time you can tell at time when the clouds start making up, you know, and then when you know it's going to blow a certain way. Either easterly wind or north wind, you can tell about the clouds.
Would the way the birds flew or the fish moved around, could they tell you anything too?
No, well, we didn't keep too much on that. The only way we can fish is on the tides, right? You know, the regular rising tides or low tides and high tides, we fish different tides. Catch fish or mullet, different things.
Did women ever go out in the fishing boats when you were starting in?
No, nobody. I never did see it years ago any women on the boats. Not lately they have, but then I didn't see anybody.
But I see today that a number go out oystering with their husbands, I guess.
Oystering, shrimping.
What'd you like best about fishing?
Well, the best about fishing I liked was sturgeon fishing.
What was it about that you liked?
Well, you didn't have much work to do. Because a lot of time you set your nets and you drift sometimes and rest a little bit, try it again.
Yeah. Well, did you ever see that? You did? Yeah.
There's some pictures up there.
Yeah, I was looking at those before.
Coast go under.
Yeah,
they start bobbing up and down. I was way on up the river one time. I had some set nets up there, and I early that morning, I looked and I seen half of the net sunk. I said, well, I don't believe them is no sturgeon, because you can tell when a sturgeon, hits your net, the course will come back up and lay flat. And these were straight down like that. I said, that's got to be a shark. You know, I caught 7 sharks in there. Way on up the river, about 35 miles up there.
Wow, I didn't think they ever went up that far.
Well, we used to not get no sharks since they built that dam. They've been going up there now. Mm-hmm. You get most of the fresh water, not no more like it used to be.
Hmm. Were the sharks dead in the net?
No, they was alive. I had to split their belly open to get them out and kill them.
You can talk, it's okay. Is there a question you wanted to ask your grandfather?
Show me your pearls that you got out of the oysters.
Oh, I don't know where them pearls are. Oyster pearls. I got some oyster pearls put up somewhere in the trunk. I got one pretty good size. But them, he's looking at it, they're the little small ones.
Grandpa got him 22 when he was 18
and it cost
$18.
Uh-huh. Yeah, not anymore.
No, I've had that since I was 18 years old.
George Demo used to have scallops, clams.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them used to handle all that, but then, I don't know, they just got out of it.
What did people do with those pearls from your oysters?
I don't know. They put them in rings or something. I don't know what to do with them. I had several pretty good size. And when I was in Texas, I offered a fellow over there had a place. I think he wanted to give me $30 for it. I said no. I still got it somewhere in the trunk. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they do with them.
Mm-hmm. Anything you didn't like about fishing?
No. All of it was all right.
Yeah.
Everything was nice. You had to do it to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't want to make you a living because they are trying to put a law on everything.
Seems that way.
Running everybody out.
Yeah.
I don't know what's the matter with them.
Well, how did the hurricane affect everyone?
Well, it knocked some of them horses out all right, but they'll pick back up. Because years ago we used to have hurricanes too.
Mm-hmm.
It bothered some of the oysters, but people, they didn't, you know, they just did something else till the oysters came back.
Yeah, yeah.
They went and caught some and off and on till the oysters came back, but didn't bother them as that bad as it was. We had a hurricane here better than this in one time, 1929. Took all them, a lot of them fish houses away from here. The one across the bridge over there, inside the bridge. Jim Anderson used to have one over there on the other side of the bridge, and it took it completely gone.
What did you do then? Did you stay here in town during the hurricane?
Not this one.
No, back in 29.
Nine, we stayed at the house. We was living right across the hotel.
Yeah.
Well, one time we went to the post office. They wouldn't let you go to the post office in there.
That was mine.
Nice.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you go in there now. I'd rather trust the post office than trust the courthouse. I wouldn't go in that courthouse no more.
Mm-hmm.
When we got in there this time, first time we stayed home, the first hurricane come by, the second we went to the courthouse, and you could hear that wind in there. It looked like the whole thing was trying to come down.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather trust a building like this come down on you, you'd live, but that one over there, it'd kill you.
Mm-hmm. Was there any damage to your house here?
No, just the
screen up there.
Trees fell on top of the house there.
Oh, yeah.
Two trees.
Yeah. Were there many people who stayed in town, or did most people leave town?
There was quite a few in town. All of them didn't go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That water tank, we had that water tank been here, a long time.
Well, I think I about run out of questions here. Is there anything else I forgot to tell you? What's this
know.
About a stingray?
Oh, when I was mullet fishing, I got stung twice in my leg.
Just a sponge.
Yeah, you go put it up. See, that sponge, it's sturgeon head.
It's still pretty soft.
Mm-hmm. Get away from there. Watch that dog before he gets on that thing.
Okay. There was a stingray in your net?
I had about 1,000 of them in the net. I was trying to squeeze it.
Yeah.
And I was dragging my feet. I said, well, as long as I drag my feet, they ain't going to hit me. So one of them was tangled up in the net, and when I raised my foot to try to get out of the net, that's when he popped me. Mm. That thing sure hurt.
I bet.
Get on away from here.
Yeah, get out of the water fast and short.
And I didn't know I had that many stingrays in the net. It was full.
Boy.
Yeah. Well, this town is gone now. It ain't like it used to be. It ain't nothing no more here.
When was it most active during your life?
I think when I was up to about 17, 18 years old, I had quite a few going yet. After that, it started disappearing. It started taking the railroad off. Everything went.
What's the largest number of people who lived here when you were growing up?
In this town?
Yeah.
I don't know how much, but there was quite a few people in here. There was a lot of Greeks, Italians, Spanish, and all that. They mixed all over the place. Mm-hmm. That's all you've seen in the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
John Otter had a restaurant down there, a cafe, that big restaurant down on the corner we on.
Called the Riverside Cafe, yeah.
He had plenty of business there.
You know, were there many taverns around, bars, that sort of thing?
Yeah, they had this one on the corner here and that one on the barrels burned up. It's only two, I think, they had.
The Oasis
and the Tavern.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might have had some more. I didn't know nothing about it, you know. I wasn't too familiar about them then, you know.
Right.
But I know them too. I remember them too.
Was the Owl Cafe around when you were growing up? Was that?
I've heard about it. I don't know if it was down there on that corner across from the bank somewhere over there. I believe it was. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Can you repeat again the businesses that were down on Water Street?
Well, I had Jim Anderson,
yep.
Joe Taranto, Paul Plager.
Plager?
Mm-hmm. Paul Plager, I forgot the name of the place. He was the one to run that one. And they had Mr. Rice and Ack and Company.
What was that?
The Ack and Pack and Company. Acme.
Acme. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. George Demo and Taranto and Belton. They had several more I done forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few. All the whole.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them around here.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of them right now, but there was all the whole old the whole dock was handling all kind of seafood.
Mm-hmm. When did people start having places up further down the road here? 98.
Up on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like that now for the last 10 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Been trying, you know, oyster shucking and this and that. I don't know, they just got out of the waterfront, I guess.
Yeah.
Take them on with the trucks, haul them up there.
It seems like there's more activity up in there now than there is down in the town.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole town is gone. They ain't got nothing there no more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It used to be nice all over the place.
More crabs.
Yeah.
And years ago, they used to crab with a rope. You know, bait on your rope, have a long rope.
Hmm.
That's where they caught crabs then. Then they finally changed to these crab baskets.
What kind of, do they have a bait or a hook on
them? Yeah, they have no, they tied a bait on there, loop it, and they kept going about a mile. They're running from one end to the other and all day long.
Hmm.
They have a scoop net going on the side, the boat running. Because that was pretty rough then, because you had to be there all day. And then you come in, you had to pull your line back on the dock and clean it all up and all that. Now you don't have that trouble. You know, you put your crab basket out there and go run them.
What kind of bait did they use for those lines?
I don't remember what kind it was. Some shark, you know, different stuff that last on there.
Yeah.
Hard fish.
Did you ever work in any of the seafood businesses, Mrs. Fuquera? No?
No, brother, you said right there.
Billy Fred Randolph. used to have a place down there, too.
Oh, that's your brother?
United Seafood Company.
I've heard about him, too. He was the man who had the sea dream, right?
Yeah, right.
Or maybe he still has it, I don't know.
It's on the hill over there. Mm-hmm. Did you pass it up?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Yeah, it's got gone now. They went out there and got them people on that torpedo kit. Got them out there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to turn that off now because we're just about run out of tape again. Was there anything you wanted to say to hear your voice or anything?
Nope.
Tell him you want to go fishing. He wants to go hunting.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's getting to be about hunting season, I guess.